speaking at a church one night, and I asked some of the folks there, and I said, how many of you? I almost need a stool back here. Good night. This ain't designed for little preachers, I tell you that. But I was speaking at the church, and I asked some of them, I said, how many of you have never heard me preach? And several of them raised their hand. I looked, and one of them was my piano player. And I said, what do you mean you never heard me preach? He said, well, I've heard you try. That's probably what might be that way again this morning, but I hope not. I'll tell you, I don't want to preach. I don't want to preach. I want the Lord to preach through us. Amen. If I do it, it's going to be a mess. I can promise you that. But if he'll do it, it'll be just exactly right. And I pray that God would touch us and use us this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the well-known passage of Scripture, Psalms number 51. Psalms 51. And while you're turning, I'll just preach to the choir for a moment. I understand that. But we all know this is David's great prayer of confession. And Nathan has come to him and confronted him with what he has done concerning Bathsheba. And I find there's a lot of truths that we could learn from this passage and the encounter that David had with Nathan the prophet. One of the things that I notice in this is David sees the other man's sin bigger than his. When Nathan comes and tells him about the little lamb that the man has took and slain, David gets angry. David's living with something, in my opinion, in your opinion probably, that's much greater. He's not killed somebody's lamb. He's stolen somebody's wife. He's also committed murder. But yet, that's not so bad. But here somebody steals a lamb, and he gets all upset over it. And said, that man shall surely die. And then Nathan, I believe Nathan's finger must have been about 4 foot long that day, as he pointed it to David's nose and said, thou art the man. You know, when we get the Spirit of God begin to work in David's life, and he began to see then just how wicked he was, according to the wording of the 51st Psalm. I am convinced through my life and through the study of the Word of God, that the closer we get to God, the closer our fellowship is with God, the greater or the bigger sin becomes in our life. Things that used to not bother us suddenly become terrible. I think of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah the prophet, the first 5 chapters in the book of Isaiah, he's preaching to the people. But then when he gets close to the Lord, when he sees the Lord and he gets close to his presence, suddenly it's me. Woe is me, Lord. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We understand, as Adrian Rogers said, I think was what made this statement, the closer we get, the bigger sin becomes in our life. And that's true. When you've got sin in your life, your fellowship is broken. And when your fellowship is broken, it doesn't seem so bad. But when the Spirit of God begins to work, suddenly sin becomes exceedingly sinful. And I think this is what happened in David's life when the Spirit of God began to speak to him after Nathan confronted him. And he writes these words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall spew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole offering. Then shalt thou offer bullocks upon thine altar. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we approach the throne of grace this morning with truly thankful hearts, thanking you, Father, for the precious word of God. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for this meeting. And Lord, I pray it should bless everyone that attends today. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, would you receive me, Lord, as I give myself to you. Father, would you use me this morning, God, as only you can. God, I don't need your help because I don't want to have a part in it. God, I want you to use me. I want to be as an instrument in your hand. I don't want to do anything of my own this morning. God, I want it to be all through your power. And so, Lord, would you use us this morning as you see fit. Take the word of God, Lord, as we try to uphold the Lord Jesus this morning and lift him up. Lord, may it do that in our hearts that would cause us, Lord, to walk out and say, my, what a Savior. So, Father, have your way. Bless Brother Frank, this church. Thank you for the good singing we've heard this morning. Thank you for the sweet touch of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are glad, Lord, that you still blow by. Amen. And we ask you now, Father, to bless and touch. And we'll thank you for it, Lord, for we ask this in all things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I like the wording. I'm big on the words of the Word of God. Now, I'm not a smart man. Don't claim to be smart. But I love to do studies of the words in the Bible. I believe God put every word in the Bible just exactly where he wanted it. I think every word has a purpose. When it said, God begins to say here, I've got several things jotted down in my Bible on this, but he uses three different words when he comes to talking about what we would call sin. The first one he uses is transgression. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. That word transgression means rebellion. It's something when you know you're doing wrong and do it anyway. That's rebellion. You rebel against the law. You're going against something that is a known reality of a law. And you go against that. So he says, I've rebelled. I've gone against your law. I've done it knowing that I was doing wrong. The second one we find is the word iniquity. And that word iniquity means perverseness or perverted. You know, we think about today, we use the word perversion. When we think about the ungodly union of the same sex or of all that, we think about that perversion. But may I just tell you this morning, friends, that I believe God sees all of our sins as perversions. All of our sins are perversion. We pick and choose. Say amen, whether you like it or not. We want to pick and choose about which is the greatest sin. But my friends, God says all sin is perversion. And I just tell you this. It makes more sense to me. It's more of a natural thing for a man to go after another man's wife than it is for a man to go after another man. But in God's sight, both of them are sin, and God's against both of them. He doesn't excuse either one just because it's natural, if you please, or normal, if you please. God doesn't do that. So perversion comes into play. And then we find the third one. It says, cleanse me from my sin. He uses sin. That word sin means offense. When we sin against God, it's an offense to Almighty God. God is offended by our actions many times, or by our actions before we were saved, especially. But let's just face it, the Bible says in John, if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth's not in us. And so we have to understand that when we fail God, when we sin against God, we're offending a holy God. And I'm convinced, now you can disagree with me if you want to. I tell my people this at church all the time. If you want to disagree with me, you have that right. You can be wrong if you want to. Amen. But I am convinced of this one thing. When we sin against God as Christians, we've already rebelled, first of all, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. He is our guide. He is the one that goes before us. He shows us things that are wrong before we ever do them. Say amen, oh me, or ouch. We know what we're doing before we ever do it. We're all guilty. We sin, we're already guilty of rebellion. Because we rebelled against the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And so David, he mentions these three things. You see, I believe David has three desires. He wants to be right. David wants to be right. I like to be right, don't you? I want to be right. Well, David knew if he was going to be right, he had to be right by God. He knew he couldn't do it himself. The first verse says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." You see, when we see the seriousness of sin, when we see the ugliness of sin, the rebellion of sin, the perversion of sin, the offense of sin, you know what it does? What it does to me anyway, it makes me appreciate my salvation. It makes me see how great and how powerful and how wonderful the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ really is. That you and I today can stand before Him righteous, not because of anything we've done, but all because of what He's done. It shows me how powerful my Savior really is. I like the old song. I like the old hymns. I love this one. The songwriter, I think, penned it right. And he said, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh, friend, oh, precious is the flow that makes me. I mean, listen, friends, you don't know me like I know me, but I'll tell you, it makes me white as snow. And it makes you white as snow. Boy, I get all excited when I read over in the book of Jude that he's going to present us faultless one day. And hey, friends, it ain't our brothers and sisters that's going to be judging us that day and looking at us and saying we're faultless. It's going to be the Master, amen. It's going to be the one that sees all things, the one that is pure. And he's going to say, hallelujah, I can shout on that. He's going to say that Steve Lloyd is faultless. And he's going to say that you are faultless if you're saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Ain't God good this morning? Oh man, listen, he said, if I'm going to be right with God, I've got to be right by God. God's got to do the work. He goes down here in verse 2, he says, "Wash me." You know, we can wash ourselves on the outside. We can clean ourselves up on the outside. But David's talking about an inward washing. He said, you got to wash me. You got to clean me up. You got to clean me out. And I'm glad I serve a Savior this morning is able to do that. He can cleanse us from sin. Not only can He clean up the heart of the sinner, not only can He clean the desires of the sinner, but I want to glad He can thank God He can even clean up the practices of the sinner. We got too many folks today that's major known to minor. They're trying to get folks ready to live, to teach folks how to live right. Now don't misunderstand me. Listen to something. Let me finish for you. Call me a heretic this morning. We got folks trying to teach people, lost people, how to live right. You ain't never going to get a lost man to live right. You're never going to get him cleaned up enough. I ain't interested in telling people how to live. Just preach the Bible. The Holy Spirit will take care of that. Amen?
Yeah.
But I am interested in getting people where they know how to die. Listen, we're going to face God one day, and you can live clean as a hound's tooth, still die in your sins and go to hell.
Right.
Let's face it. You got to be cleaned up on the inside. David recognized that. God, you wash me. God, you cleanse me. I can't do it. Then he says in verse 7, he says, "Purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." You see, David recognized that God had to do that work. May I just tell you, it was a grand day. This lady said it'd be 35 years, that I understand you correctly, March the 25th? 21st. I was close. 35. Well, can I just say this? In September of this year, it'll be 50 years.
Praise the Lord.
Since God saved this old wretched sinner's soul. saved my soul 50 years ago. Oh, friend, listen. I'm glad God was able to clean me up. I'm glad God was able to straighten me out. Somebody said he won't last 6 weeks. And I can tell you, I didn't last 6 days. But the Holy Ghost of God moved in, and he's lasted almost 50 years. It ain't up to me. It ain't up to you. I didn't walk out that church that night. When I did walk out the church, I didn't have a pastor that handed me a little tablet and said, "Now you're a Christian. Here's what you can't do. Here's what you can do." No, no. I walked out that church. I'll be honest. Can I give a testimony for a minute? I walked out that church that Sunday night. I was leaving there, going to go home and lay down for just a few minutes and get up and go to work on a third shift job. Start up at Staley Hoser Mill. I was a half hose fixer. And I was going to go there. And I mean, something wonderful, something glorious, something tremendous had happened in my life when God saved my soul. I mean, I walked out of that church a different person. I know you're not saved by feelings, but I felt different. Amen. Everything was new. And I walked out that church that Sunday night. And I didn't walk out necessarily rejoicing. I'm sad to say, I walked out scared teetotally to death. You say, "Preacher, why in the world would you walk out scared?" Because I was afraid I was going to go into work, get mad, fly into one of my fits, and lose everything I just got. I was scared to death of that. See, I was brought up in a church where you could get saved, get lost again. And I was scared of that. I was just worried sick as I went to work. But you know, what I didn't know was when I walked out church that Sunday night, that I didn't walk out by myself. It was the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. And he ain't never left me. Thank God for that. You see, I wasn't the one making the change. He had done made the change. I can tell you, as I went along in life and began to grow, there was things the night I got saved that God took away from me. And my tongue was one of them. Well, some folks talk about speaking in tongues. I had to learn to speak in tongues when I got saved. Not this jibber-jabber stuff we're talking about, but I had to learn a brand new tongue because my vocabulary was different from then on. God made a change in this. That left me. I didn't have a problem with cursing from that day forward. But Brother Frank, as I lived and as I grew and as I studied the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit worked on me, every once in a while, he'd put his finger on something in my life. He said, "You need to get rid of that. You need to get shed of that." One of them I carried around in my pocket. It took me a while to find out that God no longer delighted in burnt offerings. But he finally got that across to me. And I laid those down. Took a while. It wasn't easy, but I laid those down. There was other things. Some music I was listening. I've never liked rock music, but I used to listen to country music a whole lot. And listen, I'll tell you this. There ain't a thing wrong with bluegrass. Amen. You know why that? Because I like it. Amen. Amen. I love bluegrass. I play bluegrass style gospel. But anyway, there's nothing wrong. But God began to put his finger on some of the music I was listening to. Then he put fingers on other things in my life. And he said, "Lay them down." Hey, the preacher didn't do that. He didn't get up and say, "Hey, you got to quit this. You got to quit that." No, the sweet Holy Ghost of God put his finger on it. And by the way, if the preacher told me to do it, I probably would have bucked and rebelled.
Right.
And don't look at me like I'm a heathen, because you probably would have too.
Yeah.
But when God told you to do it, brother, it wasn't so bad. Amen? Hey, I mean, I'm saying the sin wasn't so bad, but it wasn't so bad giving it up, because you recognized who you was doing it for. And so David recognized if he was going to be right, he had to be right by God. God had to do the work. And then he wanted to be right with God. In verse number 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He wanted to be right with you. What does that clean heart mean? Well, what is our heart? Well, if I understand the scriptures right, the heart is the seat of our emotions. It's the seat of our affections. It's those things that we love. And he said, "Create in me a clean heart." In other words, I believe he wants us to love the same things God loves. I think he wants us to hate the same things God hates. You said, "God don't hate nothing." You need to read the book of Psalms. He said, "These six things doth the Lord," what's the next word? Hate.
Yeah,
God does hate some things. said a proud look, a lying tongue, all those things. Now, he didn't say he hated the man, but he hates the sin. Right. Hey, friends, if God hated men, I'd been in trouble. But I'm glad he hates the sin. You see, I want God. This is my prayer today. I still pray this prayer David prays. God created me a clean heart. God, help me to love more the things that you love. Help me to fall in love with the things that you're in favor of. Help me to love those things. I'm talking about, and not only love them, but desire those things, to crave those things. Well, that's what I want in my life. David said, I want to be right with God. I want to be where I can walk along with God without anything hindering us. And then he goes on to say something else, and I'm about halfway done now. But he goes on to say something else. He wanted to be right for God. He said, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall spew forth thy praise. He wanted to be right for God. He wanted to do something for God. Ephesians tells us, I don't know whether I marked it or not, but Ephesians tells us over in chapter 2, in verse number 10, it talks about that we've been, let me see if I can find it. I don't like quoting stuff. Said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He said, God, I want to be used of you. I want to do something for you. Do you remember when you got saved, how there was a desire in your heart to serve God? Well, there was in my heart. Brother Frank, I wore the altar out. You'd think the church was trying to make up which side the piano went on. The altar was wore so bad. But I was there praying for God to use me. Let me do something for you. I wasn't trying to pay him back for my salvation. I wasn't trying to earn my salvation. I just wanted to do something for him because I loved him.
Amen.
I was thankful for what he'd done. I mean, listen, friends, I'll be honest with you. I just couldn't hardly help myself. Something hit me the other day when I was studying. This I won't charge you for this. This is free. But I was studying that day, and I was reading about those seraphims that was going around the throne there in Isaiah chapter number 6. And they were just continually praising God. They were just going around, holy, holy, holy. And somebody say, boy, that God, the God you serve must have a real ego trip that he had to create something just to do that and praise him all the time. No, I see it a little bit different from that. I don't think he done that. I don't think them seraphims is going around that altar doing all of that because they have to. I don't think God said, you got to do this. You got to do this. No, I think they can't help themselves.
Right.
I know they just can't help themselves from praising God and crying out his holiness because of his being in his presence. And how can we that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, how can we help but praise the one that died for us and saved us by his marvelous grace, gave his life for us? But that you and I, which were sinners and deserved to go to hell, to go to heaven, took our hell upon himself so that we could be set free. How in the world can we help them praise him?
Amen.
They weren't doing it because they had to. They were doing it because they couldn't help themselves.
Amen.
I'm convinced of that. Oh, friends, hallelujah, what a Savior this morning.
Amen.
You see, God does something to us. And I'll be done in just a second. God does something to us when he cleanses us, when he washes us with his blood. And I still, every once in a while, Brother Frank, I still just plead the blood over myself. Just plead the blood over the church. Plead the blood over my men. Plead the blood over the service. Oh, I want him to clean everything. Amen. You see, I know I'm saved, but I ain't perfect yet. No, I'm not perfect yet. And I fail the Lord. And I ask him to forgive me. I'm glad I can still ask him to cleanse us. And then I want him not only to do something to me, but I want him to do something in me. We'll do something in me. But then thirdly, and I'm done. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want him to do something with me. I want him to do something with me. I don't want to be, I'm like Paul in this. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be just something that's set up where somebody can see it, not have any effect. I don't want to be placed. I don't want to be like that mosaic that Otis made on the Andy Show and put in the closet. I want to do something for him. I want to serve him.
Amen.
God's been good to this old boy. We were talking just a moment ago about quickness. December the 10th, I was sitting at a family meal. It was kind of a Christmas and family reunion meal all bound in one. And I was there and sitting down, I was eating. And for a change, I wasn't making a pig out of myself. That's a miracle right there. But we were sitting there enjoying the meal. My family was there with me, my oldest daughter, her kids, and my wife. The rest of them were at work. We were sitting there eating our lunch. And all of a sudden, the room started doing this. And I thought, well, I told my wife, I said, I'm getting dizzy headed. And so I reached out to get me a drink. I had a Sprite there and a cup. I reached out to get my Sprite, and I couldn't pick it up in my right hand. I had to take both hands to pick it up. And took me a drink. I told my wife, I said, I believe I've got vertigo. I've had that once before. Spent about 12 hours in the hospital at the emergency room with it before they could ever get me where I would quit throwing up. And so I said, I believe I'm getting vertigo again. And I went to tell her something else, and I looked at her and I said, I can't talk. And so we took off and went to the hospital a little bit later, and I'd had a stroke. Everything was fine. All of a sudden, a little blood clot, size of the head of a pin, a little bigger, went through my brain. It's gone. No residual effects. Everything's fine. God's good to this old boy, I'm telling you.
Praise the Lord.
But, hey, my life could have changed forever that quick. You don't have a promise tomorrow. The Bible says, what is your life? It's even a vapor. Appeareth a little while and vanisheth away. I don't know how long I got. But however long God lets me stay here, I want him to do something with me. He's already done something to me, and he's done something in me. I want him to do something with me. I'm right by God. I'm right with God. I want to be right for God. Brother Frank.